Hello! Welcome back, everyone. I have to just get in there very early and just say, if you can hear some drilling, I am in my mandatory quarantine because I am in the United Kingdom. I am back in England. I'm in God's own country. I'm up in Leeds right now. I'm locked in this building with some very obnoxious builders working on something next door, and they have been listening to talk radio all morning. I thought I was going to hit. I almost woke up to Jermaine Beckford this morning.
I fancied a day off. I'd rather see your face today.
Thank you. But they are drilling, so if you can hear that in the background, that is them. There's nothing I can do about it. But that's what I've been up to. I had a little, I'm here. I'm in England. What have you been up to, Bex?
I've been waiting for the phone call to say, hey, Bex, guess what? I'm in the UK. Come and see me, dude. We'll have a socially distanced coffee.
You're not allowed, mate.
Like, I'll bring my fold-up chair. Just pop it outside your place. You sit indoors. I'll sit outdoors. I'll have my umbrella. No, don't fancy it.
Cat. Yeah, I got a pizza delivered the other day. I'm like, leave it on the step. On the step. I'm not allowed to see anyone.
Did you shout at him as well?
Did you open the
letterbox? Open the letterbox and scream at him. I bet he bricked himself. Who said that? It's a talking door.
So that's what I've had to do this week. I feel like an absolute maniac, but hopefully we'll be getting let out soon. Oh, Bex, before we go anywhere, happy birthday last week.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm still waiting for some gifts, but listen, yeah. I understand the post is late. Everybody's busy, so...
I told you my presence is your present, and here I am in Leeds just for you. Jermaine Beckford's birthday.
But you're not letting me come over.
I'm not the one not letting you. Boris Johnson's not letting you come over. Don't look at me.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for the birthday wishes. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
And for everybody that gave me lots of love and care and thoughts and everything on my birthday, it was great. It was great fun. We didn't do much. Stayed in.
Not much to do, is there?
Half a cake to myself. That was good fun. Felt sick.
And half a cake.
It was only a small one.
I know we all, we mentioned it last week, and everyone was really behind Kevin Sinfield running his 7 marathons in 7 days for Rob Burrow and for the Motor Neuron Disease Foundation.
How much did he initially set out to
He wanted to originally get £77,777. That was the goal.
Yep.
And I can confirm that we are now over £2.5 million.
Unreal.
Which is astonishing. I mean, it's a testament to Kev himself, and especially to Rob, who is just one of the greatest guys you could ever meet. Such a nice, nice man. And also just to everyone who's been so supportive, and our listeners who have donated as well. Thank you so much. It is so superb to see people coming together at what is already an incredibly difficult time, that people are still thinking of other people. So thanks, guys. Awesome.
Much appreciated.
Other good news, we also have a guest on today. I don't know if we're going to have much time because we've got to dip into that West Ham game. But yeah, we've got we had a bit of a sporting legend on this week. Not football, but a legend.
Massive legend, by the way.
Yeah, a global star.
Yes, yes. It's very exciting. You can't tell in Matty's voice, but he is super stoked. I can see it in his eyes.
I'm nervous is what I am.
Oh yeah,
he's a Scotsman originally, but he might as well be a Yorkshireman. He lived in Leeds for a long time. Big Leeds fan.
Yep.
So we were keen to get him on. Seems like he was keen to come on. Thankfully. Do you like golf, Bex? I think I might pitch you as a bit of a golfer.
Do you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a fair weather golfer. So as soon as the weather starts to change, I'm getting indoors. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
It's That's not fair. For me. However, I'm pretty good hand-eye coordination. With a driver, I'm not amazing. I could probably hit 160, 170, which is, it's okay for me.
Yeah.
And I know we've probably got a lot of listeners out there, and they're listening and they're thinking, with a driver, 160, 170. For me, it's not about the power. I just got to try and get the clean connection.
Oh, mate, I'm the same. I was at one of those, golfing, driving range, yeah, but you know, with the computer systems on where they track everything.
Yeah.
And I hit like a 176, and that's my furthest drive, but I have to be like, everything has to go right for that.
Yeah, ditto.
Because I'm the same as you. Like, I can't hit it far, but I just got to concentrate on getting it straight.
Yeah, I've been on a couple of charity golf days. Simon Grayson's charity golf day. Honestly, the first two holes, I was trying to smash it because everybody was watching. I wanted them to think, flipping, I'll tell you what, Bex has got a bit here. Mate, I put everything into the first two holes. They were going spinning off left. They were curling off right. I thought, no, this isn't right. So I just went back to basics. I said, right, just keep it smooth, keep it clean, slow and steady. Don't lift your head up when you swing it. Just keep your head down, you know, like. And then I hit like a 150, 160. And I'm thinking, right, slow and steady wins the race for me.
If you keep doing that, you're going to get there, aren't you?
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually, but you'll get there.
I finished very close to last, I'm not going to lie, but I had a great time.
Maybe we can both try and get some tips from our guest today. It is none other than Colin Montgomery. Colin Montgomery, OBE, I should say.
OBE, yes.
Which I think he's our first guest who's been honoured by Her Majesty. Colin will be coming up slightly later after we have depressingly dismantled this West Ham game.
Yeah, it won't take long.
Let's get out of the way now, then, shall we?
Let's get into it. So, it was poor. There you are.
It was
job
poor.
Done.
Yeah, it was poor. I mean, you were just talking to us. You came on. You looked a little bit down when you first came on the Zoom here. And I feel like it's because you've been talking about it a lot this week, and you're on Sky Sports, you've been on the radio, you must be sick of talking about it by now.
Nah, I'll tell you what, there's a part, you know me, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I've always been, always will be. My frustration stems from being a centre forward and seeing myself in Patrick Bamford's position,
right
in his boots right now, because he made a couple of great movements when we had the ball out wide in both wing and wide areas. And instead of the ball getting flashed across the second 6 yard box, which is the 6 yard box and the space between the 6 yard box and the penalty spot, it was cut back and then passed across the edge of the 18 yard box and then went out the other side. And instead of getting crossed again, it was getting passed back across. And we're trying to be too intricate. My frustration, as I touched on briefly, is that if I was standing in Patrick's boots, I would have been kicking off as soon as it got to halftime, saying, put the ball in the box. Sometimes the simplest thing is the most effective.
Yeah.
Just put it in the box. Patrick's really strong in the air. Don't get me wrong. Ogbonna's, he's really good in the air. I can't remember who was playing alongside him. He was pretty good in the air as well. But, you know, sometimes you just got to just throw it in and hope for the best and see what happens. Have faith and have confidence in your strikers that they're going to firstly make the right movement to lose a defender. And secondly, faith in yourself that you're going to put it in with quality. You know, if they clear it, we've got players on the edge of the 18. We've got Roddy, we've got Clicky, we've got Jack on one side or Raf on the other side, who will collect the second ball and maintain that high pressure. But it didn't feel like we trusted it enough.
Yeah, we gave the ball away far too cheaply in those areas without getting anything to show for our work. Yeah. Harrison, I think we've mentioned this, is out of form.
He was a bit off, yeah. But do you know what? I think I put that down to the first 9 games. Like, the last 2 games haven't been great for Jack. But I'll explain why in a sec. The first 9 games, we got the ball to him very quickly and just let him do what he does best. You know, he drops the shoulder. If you watch him, when who was playing left back? Alioski. So when Alioski had the ball, as soon as Ali picked the ball up, opened his body up to pass it to him, Jack had gone right, stopped, gone left, lost his defender, and then looked for the third movement, the pass on the third movement. Alioski didn't look for him once. And I was watching because I was thinking, the last game, Jack didn't seem like he was quite on it. I wonder why. Let me watch him this time around and see if I can figure it out. Is his touch bad? Is he tired? Is like what's going on? I was watching. He was still doing the same movements, but he just wasn't getting the ball quickly enough. Whether that's down to the way West Ham were pressing or not, I don't know. I don't think it was. I think it was a little bit of complacency from us kicking in because we'd done so well in the 9 games prior to the 2 that the boys have been off it recently. But I think that we just need to go back to basics again. Back to basics. This is going to be the key for us. I think get the ball moving quickly. When you get half a yard, half a chance to put the ball in the box, just whip it in. Whip it in and see what happens.
Let's. Well, we did it last week. It's not something I want to really spend a lot of time on because we all know it's a problem we've known for a long time. But we can't discuss this game without talking about set pieces. You've obviously mentioned there we've got our two centre halves out. I saw that on Sky before the game they showed sort of the five tallest players for West Ham and the five tallest players for Leeds, and our tallest player was the same as their fifth shortest, tallest player.
Fifth. Yeah.
So straight away we're up against it.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, Strike 6'3".
Yeah,
on the bench, and we've got Llorente 6'1", I think. So again, he's still not massive, but he's, you know, Newcastle are going to play a similar game. I mean, I just watched them the other night, and I suspect that set pieces are going to be enormous for them, and it's something that we really, really need to address. What do you think, without trying to second guess God himself? What do you suggest is the best way of trying to? I mean that my best opinion is, if you can't defend set pieces, don't give them away cheaply, Costa and Harrison. But you know, it's football; it happens. How are we going to sort this?
It's difficult because Souček for West Ham he was what, 6'3", 6'4", and he was being marked by Stewie Dallas, yeah, who's 6 foot. You know. It was a mismatch right from the offset. So we need to. What I would have been tempted to do was bring Patrick and make him man mark one of the bigger guys. But it's difficult because we didn't really have that many players who could have caused that many issues in terms of defending set pieces. We're not a tall side. We get the ball down and pass it and play, which is again why I think we should have contemplated having Strojk in there. You know, just throw him in at centre half and then kind of go from there. It would have given us a little bit more of a chance, I think.
Because it is frustrating. You know, I thought West Ham were better on the night. I mean, I'm not going to pretend that game was stolen from us. But it is frustrating to lose to set pieces. You know, I mean, we've not conceded that many open play goals this season in what is supposed to be, you know, the footballing league, the league where everyone likes to play football. We've actually done quite well with the ball in open play. And so it is frustrating to lose to these set pieces to teams that we do play better football than, you know, aside from this West Ham game.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, if we're more critical and crucial on our attacking play, then I don't think it's a bigger deal as it is currently. But because we're not being as clinical in front of goal as we could be, you know, I think that's highlighting all our frailties, all of our weaknesses that much more. So I it's not anything to panic about or worry about, but I do also think it's something that we do need to try and work on just that little bit more.
I mean, everyone around us lost. Arsenal's dreadful season continues. So we haven't really gone anywhere. We're still in 14th, but it does make tonight's game a big one. We're gonna talk about that in a minute after we've spoken to Colin. But I think you're right. I don't think we've had those games. We had those games in the Championship where our passes just weren't on. They weren't going to the right people. We were just a half a yard behind it. I'm not concerned about it. I'm frustrated more than anything because, again, even when we play that badly, and we did play badly, we've still just lost to one goal that were a set piece, which we knew were weak for us anyway. We've not been, you know, that performance there, playing that badly, we could easily have lost 3-4-0. We didn't.
That's the thing. But we're also up against a team that's got the second best attacking set pieces in the Premier League. You know, they're ranked number two before we played them for scoring chances created from set pieces. And we were second bottom, second worst. Right. So it's inevitable on paper that we were going to concede a goal or two from a set piece. But that being said, it's all a learning curve. the second time we play each one of these teams this season, we'll approach it differently because we'll have a first-hand view and idea of the strengths and weaknesses of each one of these teams with each one of their players as well.
I think that's a really great point. We play all these teams twice. We get another bite of the cherry. And when these teams play Leeds, they know they've got to play out of their skin. We saw it with Chelsea last week. And what did we say last week? We said, I bet he can't do that next week. I bet those players don't get up for it next week. And what's happened is that Frank Lampard has won his cup final. All right. He's forgotten there's another game next week. He's celebrated like he's won the league. And then he's lost the next game. Does that sound familiar to anyone?
Let me have a think. Yes.
Right. And I mean, we made the prediction last week. I'm not sure I'm going to make the same one about West Ham, but I wouldn't be surprised if they struggle next week as well.
To be fair, West Ham have been doing well this season. They've been all right. As we speak, I think they're up to sixth.
They were fifth after they beat, or they might be in sixth now. Yeah. But my point is, what it takes out of these teams to match Leeds, it's very difficult for them to then recreate that the following week.
Exactly. But that's the beauty of the Premier League. We're going to be safe, more than safe. We've got more than enough to be safe. You know, you've got teams down the bottom of the league who've not even broken into double figures yet. One, two, three, four teams that have not broken into double figures. And they look quite shabby as well, the way they play football.
We've got Sheffield United going down, Arsenal going down. So we just need one other team, don't we? Sort of West Brom or Fulham or something.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be fine, guys. It will be fine. Hey, listen, on that note, I want to talk to Colin.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's do exactly that. Let's get the main man himself. As we've already mentioned, the scourge of the US Ryder Cup team, absolute golfing legend, and our first guest honoured by Her Majesty. It is Colin Montgomery, OBE. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for the introduction. Fantastic. I like the OBE bit. Yeah, that makes me feel as if I should be here. Brilliant.
Well, we really, really appreciate you coming on. Whereabouts are you in the world right now?
I live in Sunningdale, which is about 10 minutes from Heathrow Airport, and that's the reason I'm down here. One, the golf's good, but Heathrow Airport is my office. You know, that's where I go from. I play most of my golf now in the States, but also I can go east as well from Heathrow. So it's a perfect location, yeah.
Just imagine that. That's your lifestyle. That's incredible. I love that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna, Colin, I need you to have a word with my missus. I'd love to move down there.
Where are you, Jermaine? Are you still in Yorkshire?
I'm just on the outskirts of Merseyside, in between Merseyside and Lancashire.
Okay,
I've still got a place in Yorkshire, in Appley Bridge, which is
lovely.
Absolutely, it's beautiful. Just on
that's
the canal.
Quite nice there. That's quite near the training ground, isn't it?
Yeah, right opposite Bradford City training ground. Yep. Yeah. They've recently built a train station there, which is fantastic for me because it's bumped the price of my house up by like
absolutely.
By
see,
like
look at that.
Two
you
grand.
See, there had to be money involved. Did $2,000.
Yeah. Always $2,000. I'm buzzing with it. Pay that in solicitor's fees. Nightmare.
Brilliant. How's this year been for you, Colin? Obviously, you say you spend your time at Heathrow. Obviously, travel's been very, very difficult.
It's been a disaster, hasn't it? You know, I mean, we get tested every week in America twice, up the nose and down the throat job, you know, and then we have to send in a sort of spit test they do as well. All the sportsmen have to do to get around, to get on the plane for a start, having to get special visa waivers. Homeland Security in America don't really want you. So you've got to, you know, it's been difficult, back and forth. I haven't come back as much because we had to quarantine as well. So I haven't bothered coming back. I couldn't afford the time. So I had to stay in America. So it hasn't been great. No. I mean, hell, has it been great for anybody? No. You just have to put up with it. We've been lucky. Golf is a sort of social distancing sport in many ways. It's outside. Mm-hmm. So they've allowed us to carry on. But it's with its issues, hotels, bubbles and all the sort of stuff. But hey, you know, you just get on with it. You know, it's like football. We're beginning to get signs of coming back. I know Leeds is still in a weird tier three, aren't we? You know, Leeds. So the sooner we can get a couple of thousand back. It's amazing the difference it's making already to those home teams that have a little bit of support, you know. And Bielsa was right. It doesn't seem fair. I know
it's not fair.
These clubs need it, but it doesn't seem fair that some have and some
agreed.
Don't.
Yeah, yeah. We've been talking about that quite a bit on the show lately, yeah. Because you could see at the Chelsea game that it had an impact. You know, even yes. 2,000 of them had an impact, and I saw it over this weekend. Oh, wow. I thought Fulham,
definitely Fulham. They were giving our fullback a bad time at Chelsea, and it does affect, you yep. know, and it's just that extra yard or extra foot that someone might just gain from the support of someone down the touchline. It's amazing what it means. But Fulham were definitely cheered on last night against Liverpool, definitely. And these fans have been waiting 6 months for this, so they're gonna be loud, yeah. aren't they? You know,
they were robbed as well, weren't they? They were robbed a little bit.
Yes,
you know, we're not going to get into it because we don't really care about those guys, but but it's frustrating that you know we've had certain situations similar as well where we've been playing games and we've stayed on our feet and we're trying to be mm-hmm. honest and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. we're just not getting the same benefits as the teams that are diving and going down softly, which is
if we'd gone down there, it was a penalty.
Exactly. Exactly. Talking about the Pervada moment, yeah.
Yeah, and it's wrong. Pervada stays on his feet, tries to do the right thing, tries to have his next shot. If he'd gone down, Stalwart penalty.
Exactly.
I mean, these VAR rules and non-rules, I don't know where you stand on it, but it's been yes, I think it's good for certain things. I think last night's red card for Xhaka wouldn't have been a red because he gave him a yellow, but seeing it, it was a red. I mean, everyone yeah. accepts it was a red and it should have been, so that works. But the Pervada thing doesn't work. That should have been a foul. Whether he went down or not, yeah. it was a foul.
I think one of the issues that we've sort of come... it's the transparency of the whole issue that we struggle with is that, for example, with the Pervada moment... Did the referee get in his ear and decide to ignore it, or did nothing? Like we don't know. This is—it's all shrouded in secrecy. And I think that if this was explained yeah. to fans, we can accept a bad decision if we just know how that conclusion has been reached. But at the minute, we're just all kept in the dark, sure. and it just seems like either the referees are being arrogant and they're turning down information that could help them, or the VAR is not doing its job. And right now, we don't know which it is. And
well, we don't know who's refereeing the game,
right?
We don't know who's refereeing the game. Sometimes it's the referee does it, which is great. They're going to the monitor more often than not, which is good. At least it's his decision, mm-hmm. you know, and not someone in a box that's refereeing the game from, you know, Stockley Park, whatever it might be. So it's yeah. just
around the corner from you, actually.
It is. Not too far, don't blame me for VAR now. Don't blame me.
No, just pop over. Just give him have a word with him.
Yeah, yeah, pop over. What the hell are you doing? Come on. Give Leeds a break.
So, we could talk about all this stuff all day, but I'm acutely aware we'd have a yeah. huge amount of time with you, Colin. So I do wanna just talk briefly about sort of how you got into Leeds. So you're originally a Scotsman from Perthshire, is that right?
Of course, born in Glasgow, Scottish parents. And my father was working at McDonald's Biscuits. That was a family business wow. That were bought over by McVitie's Biscuits, right? And then so a job arrives at Foxy's Biscuits in Batley, right?
Amazing.
So Dad goes down to Yorkshire, takes the position. It was a promotion, I suppose, in his day. I was only, 6 years old, 1969.
I should say, right? for our American listeners, biscuits are cookies.
Cookies, yes. That's right. Cookie business for our American listeners. So we moved down to Yorkshire. We moved to Ilkley in West Yorkshire. Right. We lived there. And my dad commuted into Batley for Fox's Biscuits. And with that job came four season tickets for Ellen
Oh,
Rick,
very nice.
Right?
Oh, nice.
So thank you very much. Now, this was, I was 6 years old, my brother eight, and my mum and dad. So there was four of us. So we went to Ellen Road. And I must admit, Mum, God, she died 30 years ago, but was quite a classy lady. She learned some new words at Ellen Road, I can assure you, you know. So it was just happened to be in that time of well, Leeds's prominence,
right.
You know, from the late 60s through to the mid 70s was our real, you know, golden era.
With some cracking Scottish players, I might add.
Well, there were. I mean, Harvey in goal, you've got Bremner, Lorimer, McQueen, Jordan, Eddie Gray. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a bunch of Scots. That was sort of the spine of that team, and it was a super time. Not that it was a Scottish lot, you know. God, I mean, you know, it's fantastic. The Madeleys and Reenies and Coopers of this world, you know, you can name the team. God, been going on. Alan Clark and Mick Jones, and my God, but it was a great time, and I didn't really appreciate it. And now I appreciate it. I was just a young boy, but appreciate it now, looking back. And now you look forward to those, you know, the December, what is it, 20th game against Man United, yeah, coming up. You know, I mean, this is, you know, the Man United players and Leeds players can't go back there. I can.
Right.
I know that rivalry, you know, the, yeah, Liverpool rivalry. You know, I went to the 1974 Charity Shield during Clough's 44 days. And of course, that was the Bremner Keegan sending off. Remember that one when they threw the shirts on the ground, you know, in the 74 Charity Shield? That was supposed to be a charity game, for God's sake. You know? And, but that was my first time at Wembley, incidentally, as well. Went down, travelled down from Leeds, from Ilkley to Wembley, the old Wembley. But because of the passion, and it's the Northern teams, the passion of Liverpool. You see that, and you can't knock it. That you never walk alone before the game. It is emotional. It's passionate. And Man United, I know we hate them, and I'm sorry, but we do. But there's a passion there for
never
football.
Never apologise.
Yeah. There's a passion for football. Newcastle, the same.
Yeah.
Newcastle, passion. Leeds, a real passion for the game that the London clubs don't have. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, you stick with that team through thick and thin. And of course, my God, you know, it became very thin for those years. And now, my God, I don't know how many managers, I can't mention them all, you know, after Revy and Jimmy Armfield and all, and Howard Wilkinson, after that era, my God, there's been a manager every 6 months, you know. And now we seem to have some sort of semblance of security in many ways with this manager we have now, Marcelo, and it's given us everybody rates him. Now, I mean, I don't know anything about managing football teams. Jermaine can come in on that one, but he seems to be unique. I think that's the best term for him, unique.
Yeah.
And he seems to have it worked out. Now, let's hope we can get back on a winning track. Newcastle's a very big game midweek. Very big game. And then we have, of course, you know, the big one coming up, Man United at the weekend. But I think we need something out the Newcastle game at Elland Road. That would be great if we can get 3 points, superb.
Yep.
But we need to improve on everything. But he's done a wonders with the players, because to be honest with you, if you read those players' names 2 years ago, there wasn't many, if any, Premiership players in that,
yeah,
squad. He's, yeah, made, yeah, them. Mm-hmm. He's made them very, very good. He's made them fantastic. There's no team works harder. Everybody loves watching Leeds play now. And it's exciting. And you just don't know what you're going to get, do you? You know, unfortunately, that's the problem. Yeah. I think the first game of the season was an eye-opener for everybody. Three all away at Liverpool in the 89th minute. That was a hell of a result, that. I know we lost a penalty, was it, at the end,
yeah,
there? We lost 4-3. But that was an eye-opener, and that showed everybody, hang on a minute, who the hell are this, though? Mm-hmm. Who's this? I mean, because Liverpool was supposed to win 5-0,
yeah,
and it didn't happen, and think, hang on a minute, what's this? And they've had more possession than any, they've played, what is it, 12 games now, 13 games? They've had more possession than any other team they've played. And that includes Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea. They've had more possession,
Wolves,
than any other
Everton,
team.
Yep.
Everton. It's incredible. So I think we're safe. I think we'll remain in the league, which is great, you know, to then build on what we've got. But we need a result. Newcastle's a very big game now.
Yeah. That impact that Leeds have had since the return to the Premier League, I do just want to touch on that slightly, because you've mentioned some real global clubs there, Manchester United, Liverpool,
mm-hmm.
And I imagine, have you being on the golf circuit and travelling all over the world,
mm-hmm.
everyone knows these clubs, and it's probably been quite difficult with Leeds being in the wilderness as we mm-hmm. have been. Mm-hmm. One of the things that yeah. I was always surprised about, because I live in Florida now and have done for years. I guess Leeds is just, no matter where we are, we're a huge club in the UK and probably in Western Europe. And you go to the United States and no one's ever heard of us. And no. I remember I was in a bar one night a few years ago and we were playing FIFA. Me and my friend were playing. He was Liverpool and I was Leeds. And the student came in, he was like, "Who the f*** is Leeds?" And I was like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
But then since that Liverpool game and since the last few weeks and Marcelo Bielsa and all the rest of it, I'm wearing my Leeds United face mask out and about in Florida, and I'm getting people come up to me all the time asking me about Leeds United, yes. saying, "Oh, you support Leeds? I love that team. They're my favorite club in England." Have you noticed that over the last sort of?
Oh, very much so. You talk about Leeds United, and people go, "Okay, yeah. Oh, that's that team that's managed by that," and they don't know his name, right. but they know the manager.
Crazy Argentine.
They know the respect. Yeah, the Argentine. Yeah, they know the respect of him. When Pep Guardiola and Pochettino say, "We are just disciples of this guy. This guy's the god." You know, you think, "Whoa, hang on. If they think, because you know they're right up there, Pochettino and Pep. You can't knock it. If they're thinking they're just disciples of him, there's something there. He's got something, you know? And it has been different in America. I watch the NBC SN in the mornings, you know, the Saturday morning football, they call it, or whatever it is. And it's a good show. They do a great job. And they speak so highly of Leeds United. The two Robbies, isn't it? Robbie Earl yes. and Robbie Musto, is it? Yeah, yeah. They do a good job,
They
actually.
Do, they're really good.
And
yeah.
the guy, the American guy, who's very good, quite smooth-looking guy, I don't know, American footballer anyway.
Yeah, Tim Howard's on there as well.
The whole show's great. Yeah, the whole show's great. And they speak highly of Leeds. They can't wait to watch Leeds, you know, because of the intensity, because of the pressing, because of the uniqueness of style of play. We just need, as Klitsch said the other night, possession and the way we play doesn't get us points.
Yes.
We need points, you know, and it's the end of the game, and that's what the end of the day, that's what it is. It's points that Leeds need right now. So it goes back to Wednesday's game, I think, yeah.
I watched an interview with you last week about that incredible shot at the 2004 Ryder Cup. And
oh, yeah.
you were talking about the European team.
Tell him what you told me.
And
you said it was luck.
Did I heck? No.
No, he didn't.
But you were talking about, and it's just something, because I knew that we had this interview coming up, and it just struck me a bit at Leeds. You were talking about the European team in comparison to the Americans, mm-hmm. and you sort of said that the Americans were, I guess, conservative. They were trying to play a very straight game and just, you know, make no mistakes. Whereas you felt that the Europeans were freer a little bit to be more mm-hmm. adventurous. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of thought yeah. about that with Leeds. And obviously on that occasion and several occasions, you guys came away with a trophy and it was great. Mm-hmm. But I imagine there were some situations where you played adventurous and it didn't come off.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. The risk-reward stuff, you know? And I think playing away from home, I think that was 2004, that was Oakland Hills in Detroit. And playing away from home, you do have more freedom. You know, the expectation is lower. So what happens, therefore, is that you can be free and you can do things and you can hit shots backwards and it comes round to the hole and what have you, you know? And, you know, whatever. That way that probably at home, the expectation of the crowd would go, "What the hell's he doing? You've got to play for the middle of the green. You've got to play the middle of the green and two putt and get off." Yeah. So there was a freedom in America somehow when you're playing away from home. And I think some clubs have that. And I think Leeds play with that freedom, that huge freedom. And sometimes, you know, it's, you know, the playing out from the back. You know, sometimes row Z's not a bad spot, you know. You know, there's a few footballers have got into trouble. John Stones got into trouble and lost his place at Man City, didn't he, from trying to play too much football within his own penalty area. And I just feel somehow Leeds play with almost too much freedom. And it's, you know, it goes back to the Kevin Keegan era of, well, if we score more than them, we'll win. You know, but you,
that's what it feels like, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It does. Yeah. It feels like that. We'll score more than them. So it's all right. We'll win 4-3, but you can't allow to lose 2-3 goals in the Premier League. You could probably get away with it in the Championship sometimes, but not in the Premier League. The defences now are too good to allow us to get to lose as many goals. You know, I think we're second last in the amount of goals that we've conceded this year, and that's an issue. That's an issue. Yeah, I mean, the great Premier League teams of the past, the Chelseas, the Arsenals, what you know, have you built from the back forward, didn't they? You know, I never forget when I think Brian Clough, when he got Shilton at Notts Forest, and he said, that's it. He said, that's 10 to 15 points, you know?
Right.
That it's saving us. And I'm sure, I think Mourinho said the same with Petr Cech when he got him. I'm not saying, because our keeper, I think the French keeper, I think he's coming, Melier. I think he's good. Yeah. I think he's bloody good.
I think he saved
and
us.
His delivery.
Not far off that many points at the minute.
Yeah. 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 His delivery, you know, out from the back is superb. He's right on it. Yeah. But I'm just saying that defensively, we can't allow to lose so many goals.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I think we're definitely going to address in January. Obviously,
good.
Before the game kicked off, we had lost Robin Koch and we had lost Llorente, both two centre halves as well, big boys,
world class centre halves,
comfortable on the football, world class, international,
yes.
Spanish and German international. So, you know, it's frustrating because obviously from the outside we can see what the issues are, but we don't know what they're working on day in, day out at the training ground. And I'm sure they're working on everything, that all the issues that we're coming up against, conceding goals, the way we're conceding goals, the way we're pressing, the way we're being pressed. They address absolutely everything. As you well know, Marcelo Bielsa leaves nothing to chance at all.
No.
So I can't for the life of me think that he's quite happy seeing what he's seen in terms of our defensive display, especially on set pieces.
Interesting, because that was West Ham's two goals, wasn't it? You know, both
exactly.
Set pieces. And everyone said, even before the game, Sky Sports put the height of our defence against the height of their attack.
I was on the show.
You were on the show. And it's, hang on a minute, if they've got crosses coming in here, we could be in trouble. And hey presto, two goals arose from it, you know? So we need these guys back as soon as possible. We need some height in defence, you know? We do. Look at Van Dijk and Gomez and Matip, you know, they're all 6'4". We don't have anybody that can address that.
That can play.
Yeah. Yeah.
That can play, but that's of a certain stature as well.
Yes.
I think that's something that we're lacking.
And
we do.
We struggled with it for a couple of years now, and compounded that with the injuries to our centre halves. And now in the Premier League, you're playing against teams who have for years had to play against some of the greatest football sides in the world. Mm-hmm. You got your Burnleys are up against Man City, they're up against Liverpool, they're up against Chelsea every few weeks. They've had to focus on set
adapt.
Pieces.
Yeah.
And so these teams, like your Newcastles, like West Ham's, set pieces is that's their entire makeup.
That's it.
You know, and we have to get sharper at that quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these teams, the West Ham's, Newcastle's, Brighton's, Burnley, they're not scoring many goals from open play.
Right.
They're actually scoring goals from set pieces, and they're working on it. And West Ham obviously did, you know, because there was a couple of guys that made themselves available for their headers, you know, and that was it.
Because we're not conceding many from open play.
No, we're not. We're not, because we can play on the ground. We're as good as anyone on the ground. It's just unfortunate. But let's hope we've got something left in the bank that can address something in the January window that we can strengthen, you know, the weakness. But as Jermaine says, I bet you they are working tirelessly on that on the training pitch for Wednesday, you know, to stop if Newcastle have free kicks, because as soon as Costa gave away that free kick on the right wing there, oh my God, what a position to give up. Oh no, you know, just let the guy go somewhere, but don't give him a free kick.
I'd rather him have a shot on goal, because I'm that confident in Melier.
I agree.
Thank
I'm
you.
That confident in his ability.
Thank you. Let the guy shoot, because half the time it misses anyway. But don't give him a free kick. I know. In that position, you could see it happening, couldn't you? I don't want to watch the TV. I think I threw
something.
Neither
did I. I had no choice.
You were there. Oh. But it wasn't an overall great performance. I think the first goal, I think we were fortunate as well with the penalty, to be honest, because it was the weakest penalty I've ever seen, you know, and then they got another chance, which was great, you know, and he buried that one. But it's like, I think the last two games, we've scored almost too early, haven't we? You know, the first couple of minutes, and you go, what the hell do we do now? Christ, you know, do we play like Leeds and go forward and forward and forward? And then, of course, you know, there are mistakes that can lead to it. But it's been fabulous to have Leeds in the Premier League. It's given us a whole new lease of life. It has, really. I went and bought a bucket from another shop.
You've got a Bielsa bucket?
I've got a Bielsa bucket, I have.
Oh, and amazing.
I have. £82 it cost, and a plastic bucket. And I sit on this bucket. I sit in this bucket and watch the game, and it's bloody uncomfortable. Oh, it is. It really is. It's horrible. But I sit in this bucket and think, what the hell's going on? You know, anyway, and I'm watching this. Yeah. Oh, yeah, sit in the bucket and watch the games in honour of him.
How good is that?
And there's a little Leeds badge, like yours on your left chest there. And there's a Leeds badge just at the front, and it always points to the screen.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I got my bucket.
We've got to get a picture of it.
I have to see that.
Yeah, you need a picture of the bucket.
That'll be incredible. Yeah,
of you and your bucket. It's going to be incredible.
On his bucket, there's a song, isn't there? Is it Paul? Paul Wilson? Is it? He's a fan, isn't he? He sung about it, didn't he? Bielsa on his bucket as he's thrown. And up the league we go in Ellen Road or something. Great song, you know. He's changed all the words, but it's Bielsa on his bucket as he's thrown, and that's me.
Excellent.
Sad.
Excellent.
Sad.
I know you've got to get off, but I just wanted to ask. My dad is a big fan, and
We're not doing this.
No, I know.
Again,
I have to do it. I'm sorry. Well, is it big
I pre-warned you about this last week.
And I said to me, any question, and he did have one question for you, and it's actually about so the late Peter Alice. He was a huge fan, and he wanted to know if he was as lovely in real life as he came across on television. That was his only question that he begged me to ask.
Well, I can only say to yes, a real gentleman. Yeah, yeah. Someone that you'd love as your sort of great uncle.
Right.
You know, that type of idea, a great uncle type, give you a hug and just wish you well and have a story. And yeah. Great pontificator and his stories and glass of red wine at the head of the table. And you just listened and you took it all in. Fabulous, fabulous man. And a great loss because he was the last of that era, wasn't he? The Dan Maskell, the Murray Walker, Peter O'Sullivan, all these older BBC commentators that were legends, weren't they, really? Iconic voices of our sport that we grew up with. And now it's all changed, and it's just not the same. I know I sound ancient. I'm only 57, shit. But it's that era that's lost now. And he was the final one, really.
Yeah, my dad's 77, so it was a bit of sort of, he grew up with that, watching golf, you know.
Sure, we all did. Yeah. We all did, yeah.
And I know, I do want to mention it because we really, really appreciate you coming on. And I know you mentioned your mother earlier, and you have the Elizabeth Montgomery Foundation, that's right.
Yeah, I have. You know, of all the things we've done, you know, you talk about, you know, what's your biggest, not legacy, I suppose, in life, but, you know, talk about golf and stuff. I said, no, I never do. I always talk about what's been left for others. And this is, through the Maggie Center, the Cancer Care Centers for emotional and practical support, really, for cancer sufferers. And usually built on the sides of hospitals, because the NHS are busy enough, so they can't really deal with that. So we go to the privately funded centres, and I've got one in Aberdeen, Liz Montgomery Centre in Aberdeen, that was actually opened by Camilla and the Queen of Norway, who was the architect. A Norwegian architect was given the job, and so she came over and opened it with Camilla, which was great, because Camilla's our patron of the Maggie Centres, and one in Glasgow, where my mother was treated. So we got one in Airdrie in Glasgow and one in Aberdeen. And we raised I think we did, you know, amazingly, we did about £5 million worth of
brilliant.
One was £3.5 million, one was £1.5 million, and we had to raise that money in a very difficult time, because it was around about 2009, 2010 when the world economy wasn't as good as it became. So we did a great job. You know, we played a lot of golf tournaments, a lot of charity events, and it's amazing how much you can raise in these auctions in the evenings and what have you. We even did one in Atlanta. You talk about America. We raised one with Dave Cormack, who is now the chairman of Aberdeen Football Club.
Oh, wow.
Took over from Stuart Milne. And he raised, I think we raised £250,000 one night in Atlanta. Now, these Americans would never see the center, would never know it was there. But America is a charitable nation. You'd know yourself living in Florida. Amazing how charitable they are, you know. I think we're second in the world in the charitable stakes, but America are far ahead. And amazing, you know, to do that from talk about Scotland in Atlanta, my God. But it is amazing, isn't it? You talk about Leeds United as well, how people know, you know, Leeds, Yorkshire, and then they go back to their ancestry, and they don't in America, they love their ancestry,
particularly
they
Scottish.
Go back to where they're from, particularly Scottish Irish, because that's what sort of built America, you know, and they talk about Leeds and the Scottish players and the Billy Bremners and Peter Lorimers and fantastic Eddie Gray, superb, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That is brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on, Colin.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for inviting me. And we just hope that we can got that league, you know.
Yep.
And we watch it. Well, God, we watch it religiously, don't we? Every game, we turn it on and we come on, you know, sitting on my bloody bucket as I do, you know. And, and I need what Bielsa's got now. I need one of those. He's got a wee cushion on it now, hasn't
You're right,
he?
Yes.
I think he's got a cushion on it. He's getting older. He's got a wee cushion now. I need a wee cushion as well. Yeah.
Well,
I think he was complaining that it wasn't comfortable enough.
if you're ever in Orlando, the Orlando Whites would gladly host you for a game at our pub. So do let us know if you're ever in town.
Perfect. I'd love to. I play that Bay Hill Classic sometimes as well, and Isleworth, and there's some lovely courses there. So I'll be in touch.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Colin. Well, that was great, wasn't it?
It was incredible.
A genuine Leeds fan, has been for decades. You've got a bucket. Amazing.
Mate, that topped it off for me. What an incredibly interesting guy. Phenomenal knowledge as well of all of the past games, past players, moments in his life where it led him to come into Leeds, becoming a Leeds United fan. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And he's bang right about tonight, isn't he? It's crucial. We really need something from tonight's game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we do.
Do you want to say whether we are or not? What do you reckon? Are we going to do all right tonight?
I think we're going to fly. I say it every week. I think 3-1. And eventually we're going to get a 3-1 win.
We're going to get a 3-1. I actually put money on Leeds 3-1.
So
I said 1-0 last week. And I put money on 3-1 Leeds at the weekend.
And then we went 1-0 up. And I'm thinking, there you are. Quid's in. What's the cash out?
I had Bamford to score first. And then he got brought down and clicked up the penalty. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, same here.
Anyway.
Fuming.
Yeah, brilliant. Great, let's beat Newcastle. That'd be lovely. Oh, I would love it if we beat them. I would love it.
Absolutely love it.
So that's it again for another week. We'll see you next week before the big one, the Scum game. Thank you very much to Colin for coming on. And if you did want to check out the Elizabeth Montgomery Foundation, you can find that at maggies.org. That's maggies.org. Wonderful charity there.
Yeah,
and as well as you can still donate to Kev Sinfield's appeal at justgiving.com. That's on there for the MND Foundation and Rob Burrow. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Keep telling your friends about the podcast. Keep reviewing. We love you. And I'll give Bex the final word.
We love you. Thank you very much, boys and girls, ladies and gents, for tuning in to another amazing episode of Doing a Leeds with myself, Jermaine Beckford, and my brilliant co-host, Matthew Lewis.
I'm just here to facilitate you, mate. Cheers, guys.
Ciao. Through Inner Leeds is a Lovely Stuff production, produced by Dave Cribb and Will Wood. Music by Dave Cribb.